Craig Button's in here. How you doing, Craig?
I'm good. I'm like Landeskog. You guys just drag me up.
That's right.
No way.
That's right.
Look at
Craig.
The outfit he's wearing.
That's a spectacular 2019 outfit.
That is an A-list suit.
Is that new for the new year? Like, is that how you... Do you have a new wardrobe based on the year? Do you roll
season.
Over suits?
I go seasons.
Yeah, I'm season. Although, I will say, good news, I just had them delivered today. I got to go pick them up at the Sports Center thing. But
you got new suits and everything?
Shirts.
Look at you.
Get all excited.
You get some new suits. I got this one early fall.
Sharp.
And then I got another one just before Christmas. But then I like to get the shirts and the ties. And I might go in and just buy 6 or 7 ties. Just go, okay, time for some refreshing.
See, I got all these ties and I never wear ties. Yeah. So I have all these ties, and it's like, what's the point?
Well, the last time around, I had some suits come in, and I was very happy with them. But one of the ties came in, and I remember Steph said right away, that's a Craig Button tie. And it actually is my favorite tie out of the whole group.
It's a creative tie.
It's got a little life to it.
I like
it's
it.
It's not boring.
Your son, Quinn, my daughter, Quinn, she is now she's got a little business going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, like, I think she's trying to follow in the steps of Carrie Gendron.
Really?
Yeah. You know, so she takes a lot of, she's taken a whole bunch of my stuff that I don't wear anymore or whatever. I used to just give it away to Goodwill or In From the Cold or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Well, she's taking it now and she's selling it. Shirts, ties, old suits,
good
pants, jackets, right?
Wow.
Yeah. So she comes in and pesters me. You know, I haven't seen you wear this tie for a while. You're going to wear it?
That's
so you better be careful. I might have forgotten about it. Then I go, hey, I am going to wear that.
That's
one.
An there entrepreneur you're raising there,
yeah.
Craig.
Yeah.
So the top line for Colorado is getting the top line in Toronto. Tavares, Marner, and Hyman. And we've been discussing this throughout the afternoon. I do think it has been clarified now. Doesn't mean it can't change. And you want internal competition. But coming into the season, it was, for my opinion, whoever Matthews is playing with, that's the top line. Because Matthews, I believe, is the best player. I still do, considering the slump he's in. That's not going to change my opinion. But the Tavares line has been the most consistent, most dominant, I think the most trustworthy on both ends of the rink. And I think if you ask Mike Babcock if he can only play one line tonight, he's playing that Tavares line. It's not a surprise who's getting the MacKinnon line. It's not Matthews. Not Kadri, it's the top line, it's Tavares.
What's been the one constant with the forward lines this year?
Those three, if they're healthy.
It's very clear. 11, 91, and 16.
Right.
That's who plays.
There, right from, I mean, Tavares and Marner look like they played together for a long time, and Hyman is who he is. I mean, he's a hardworking guy who helps retrieve the puck. Matthews, it's more of it's guilt by association. His guy was gone for 2 months, Willie Nylander.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're moving players around. Now, Kapanen's a nice player, but if you said at the start of the season, okay, Matthews is going to be riding shotgun with Janssen and Kapanen, like that's more in a perfect, with the depth they have, that's more of your third line. Like Kapanen and Janssen, to me, are third line players. They can give you top six, but... Like, I think William Nylander screwed Austin
Nylander
Matthews.
Isn't helping. I think Patrick Marleau didn't help.
Right.
Because Marleau, you can't play him in those kind of minutes, in my opinion. And I'm not sure he ever can again, quite frankly. I think he's just a third-line guy for the next year and a half. But
you could find, like, if William Nylander was at the top of his game, then it's Matthews, Nylander, and Janssen's a player who works hard, is in that Hyman role, and works very hard. But it's you're trying to get Nylander going, and finally you're like, okay, I'm going to push him down with Kadri, Kapanen, you're back up there. Like, Austin's kind of getting the short end of the stick. Now, he's a great enough player that we just talked about
dragging
players up.
He should be dragging him up, but he's not playing as well as he can play.
And
I think that factors in as well. He's not playing as well as he can play.
Well, Kadri, too, he's gotten a little bit of the leftovers, too.
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to say that in a disparaging way, but, you know, he played with Marner, he played with Van Riemsdyk, he's not the second line center anymore, he's the third line center.
Right.
And the number of wingers he's playing with, you know, I love Nazem. I want him on my team. I thought Saturday night against Boston, he's got the attitude.
Yeah, he comes to play.
He's the guy you want. Yeah, like, I'm not looking just at the playoffs. I don't care anymore. They're going to be in the playoffs. They got to figure out, how do we beat Boston, and then how do we beat Tampa? That to me is all they need to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not all they need to do. Like that's where the focus should be.
Yeah.
And is that Babcock you're talking about in particular?
Whole organization, everybody? All hands on deck.
Yeah.
So we want to move. Hey, listen, they made the playoffs 2 years ago. It was great.
Yeah.
Right? They lost to Washington. Pretty good series. Lost last year in Game 7 when you thought, this is about taking a step forward now. This isn't about, we made the playoffs. This is about, you got to win a round. You got to win two rounds. That's how I see it. So you got to figure out how you're going to do it.
So just, we've been talking about the last 2 hours. The way that the roster is constructed right now, if Boston doesn't make a move and the Leafs don't make a move, are you comfortable with that Leaf roster going head-to-head against the Bruins? Like, if there was just, there's tinkering, but if the Leafs don't go and do something on the back end, if they don't, you want players playing at the top of their game. Let's just
assume. Hainsey and Zaitsev are combining for 40-plus minutes in a playoff game,
you're in trouble.
You're in big trouble. That's just the reality.
Just think about playoff preparation.
Yeah.
You've been a lot of playoff preparations, right?
Yeah.
And one of the first things you do when you're preparing for your opponent, how do we take their weaker players, they're down. You're not pushing Matthews out of a playoff series. You're not pushing Tavares out of a playoff series.
Right.
You got to match up head-to-head with them what you're doing is you're picking on the weak links, right? So you ask yourself, you don't think that the Boston Bruins aren't looking at Zaitsev and saying, we're going to eat this guy alive? Ron Hainsey, and that's, I'm not knocking those guys. I'm not trying to hammer those guys. That's how you get into the playoffs. You try to take a playoff roster, right? And you go look at Toronto. You go, okay, we're not going to reduce Tavares or Marner or Matthews.
Right.
Who do we reduce? We used to do that to Colorado. Colorado, when I was in Dallas, they had all those top end guys. But we used to just, we knew we weren't pushing Sakic or Forsberg or Foote out of the game.
Right.
So we went after everybody else.
Right.
So all of a sudden now they're playing with 12, they're playing with 10 guys now.
Right.
And the other guys are going, why are you coming after us? Listen, you don't get to play just quietly.
Well, and when you think of Hainsey and Zaitsev, for the most part, one of them's going to be on the ice almost the whole night.
There you go.
Almost the whole night. There's going to be one guy. And listen, Ron Hainsey's had a brilliant career.
Yeah, he's a good player, too.
And Zaitsev, I think, is capable of being better than this, but I don't know. I mean, he had a good rookie year, and last year was a disaster, and this year he's been okay, I guess, based on standards. But if that is your number two and number four defenseman, and they are going to be combining for upwards of 45 minutes of ice time, that's a problem.
It is.
Yeah. That's a problem.
And now Gardner has to play more or do more, right?
And Boston, they've got his number. I don't know what they're doing differently than other teams. I don't know if it's psychological, if it's the forecheck. I don't know. But he is panicked against that team.
And that's where I think they're really being hard on a guy like Dermott right now and have been all year to see if they can challenge him to see the growth there. And maybe he's a guy who pushes into your top four. And through experience and through confidence, I think when the dust settles, that's probably what they're thinking and what they would like. You can't just fast track the process. He has to go through it. And even, you said the other day, I was reading his comments saying, they've been hard on me this year. Well, obviously, I think they expect more out of him. He's playing with Ozhiganov, who, I think has had some struggles as well. But I there's a lot of canceling. And believe me, the Bruins are not without their warts as well.
No, you're right.
That's where I think the Leafs will match up against them and say, okay, well, we like our third line better than theirs, or what can we get more out of, deeper down or down deeper in their roster.
But it may not have to go that far down because of what we just talked about to spark this whole conversation. If Tavares gets Bergeron, Matthews, you're up. If you can't beat Krejci,
there you go.
Yeah. We're in trouble. Like that's it. Like if you, and I know that's simplistic to say 1-1-1-1-1,
right?
But if it gets down to that, Matthews, based on a matchup, you've got the Krejci line. He's got to feed him his lunch. He's got to.
Yeah,
Krejci's got a ton of playoff experience and great playoff resume.
He's a really good player too.
But he's not Auston Matthews.
No,
at any point in his career, he hasn't been Auston Matthews.
Well, no. And Auston did not have a good playoff last year.
No, he did not.
So you're exactly right, Brian. You know what? This is where the rubber. It hits the road, right? And to me, the Leafs are a very good team. But but the challenge for them is, so is Tampa Bay, and so is Boston. And if you're Calgary, so is Vegas, and so is San Jose. And if you're Washington, so is Pittsburgh, right? And Columbus.
There's about eight teams.
Yeah, there are, right?
Really?
So what do you do if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs? It's a clear view. We got to beat two teams to get to the conference final. What do we have to do to beat those teams? We know... Everybody, there's not anybody that wouldn't say that William Nylander at his game is it really gives the Leafs another step up. He's got to find that step up because right now he hasn't.
Yeah, Oh, absolutely. I heard you guys in the lunch, and you said it. You're like, that's the guy. Because we spent 3 months talking about him. If he's at 100%, they're a much improved team. Right. And he's, you know, it's been a long time here. It's still a while until we get to the playoffs. But it better be, going into the playoffs, you got to see something. Because he's not just going to snap out of it on April 10th.
No, but I think
he's got to show it before then.
I think you'll see a gradual improvement. But I think also confidence is such a fragile thing. He gets one or two, and all of a sudden he's feeling it. Him and Austin get going again. Like, and you know, Austin, it's you know, I talked about Laine last night or two nights ago. I can't remember. It all morphs together. These goal scorers, they go through stretches, and Austin is no different than Jerome McGinley and Alex Ovechkin and all these guys who you can go through. Alex Ovechkin, Patrick Kane, go through their whole career. There will be pockets of 10, 12 games where it's, you know, 3 points and it's quiet. And then all of a sudden there's pockets of 10 games where they got 12 goals. That's the nature of the beast. I've seen it year in, year out. And I think Austin has to fight through that right now. He will. He'll be fine. But I think William is a guy who has to get going. And the two of them work well together. And then all of a sudden you'll see some chemistry with Johnsson, because Johnsson's a pretty hard-working guy. You know, I think he gives what he can out there, and he's got more upside, I think, than other.
He can play. Yeah. I mean,
I'm really happy when these guys go into slumps, because it gives us something to talk about.
Well, there is. I mean,
what's wrong with Sidney Crosby? Well, nothing really. Well, he hasn't scored in 7 games.
No, I just did a thing on Carey Price today.
Yeah, Carey Price.
Once every 3 months, it's, you know, what's wrong with this guy? What's wrong with that guy? Well, you know, it's the natural progression, but that's, you have to talk about it because it's right in our face. Like, that's, you know, sometimes the stats do get skewed, because if you're, like, I never worry about Austin, because those chances, like that backhand chance the other night, like that's in his sleep, he puts that in. He just, it's a little bit of a tough stretch right now.
Well, he had a disallowed goal on what, a millimeter?
I know.
He rings the inside of the post against New Jersey, right?
Yeah.
He fires another one where he was putting it under the bar just a little bit over, right? Like, I mean, like, so it's just, getting chances, I used to tell Jerome all the time, when you stop getting chances, I'll start to get worried.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah, listen, Austin Matthews is too good, too talented, too driven. He's going to be fine in those areas. But I think, like, when he's on his game, it starts in the neutral zone for him a lot of times. Like, the way he can trigger a rush, the way he can, you know, like, just being in the building, you know, you can feel it. When he's got the puck and he's picking it up at his own hash marks or at the top of the circle and he's starting to chug, you can feel it. Well, and I don't see that much right now in this current kind of rut he's in.
Well, and that brings me back to the Colorado line. And it, to me, it's a huge thing. I can go to the Calgary line, too. But the Colorado line, McKinnon drives that with speed. But Rantanen and Landeskog know exactly how to get McKinnon the puck when he's with speed, right? And when McKinnon's using his speed to back up defenders and open up ice, they know how to get open. I don't think Austin Matthews has that same type of symmetry. Elias Lindholm and with Goudreau and Monahan.
Right.
If you're defending against that line, you got to defend the entire defensive zone, because they can beat you anywhere, high to low, side to side, and then they get inside, right?
Yep.
Austin doesn't have that right now.
No, he doesn't.
I'm not making excuses for him, but he doesn't have that.
Right.
Well, you know, speaking of Calgary and the West and what's going on there, we were discussing this with Ray in the previous hour and just how deceptive that playoff picture is, because you got Winnipeg, Nashville, Calgary, San Jose, Vegas. They're all in.
Yeah.
And they're all good teams.
Yeah.
A third team's got to be in the Central.
Right.
Someone's got to get in, and there's got to be two wildcard teams. Nobody wants it right now based on their play. And, you know, we were discussing the Ryan Rashog report about, you know, Shirelli and the Oilers. They're pursuing some offensive help and what they might be willing to give up to acquire that. I mean, I understand if you're looking at the standings, you're thinking we're right there. But none of these teams are actually even close to truly being competitive in terms of a cup run or actually pursuing that Stanley Cup. So if you're a GM in Minnesota, Anaheim, Vancouver, Edmonton, like, what do you do here, Craig? What do you do leading up to the trade deadline? And how do you explain it to your owner that, yeah, maybe we could get in if we catch a bit of a heater, but we're not that good of a team.
Yeah, and
we're going to get smoked in the playoffs.
Yeah, well, and that's kind of the trick. See, and you know, you're looking at playoff gates. You know, what does it mean for other types of corporate deals that you're trying to renew? You know, every organization is different. You know, the other thing that I also have, I think you have to look at too, Brian, is that so you're some of these teams, right? And you're going, wait a sec. Vancouver looks like they're really coming ahead, right? Right. Nashville's going nowhere. Winnipeg's going nowhere. Calgary's going nowhere. Vegas is going nowhere. It looks like Vancouver's on the uptick, right? Colorado's got some really good young players on their team. Cale Makar, one of the best players outside the NHL, affiliated with the NHL. Like, so now you're going to go try to make the playoffs. Are you going to set yourself back where you're going to be even further behind next year? That's, I think you have to look at it that way, too. Like, you know, like San Jose's a good team.
They're really good.
Like, see, if the team that I think has to really look at something seriously is San Jose, because I don't think they have a long runway here with the age of their players.
Right. You're saying they're in a window and it may not be a 5-year
window. I think it's real short.
Yeah.
I think it's really, really tight for them.
Well, and I would Doug Wilson's one of the most
he's a proactive
GMs in the league. Like, well, he goes out there and he moves and shakes.
He missed out on JT.
And like, what did he do?
Well, he got Carlson.
Exactly.
But I don't think he's done.
I don't think he is either.
Trying to upgrade his forwards.
No, I wouldn't be.
And his team now, like, I mean, they looked like Carlson couldn't find his way there. They couldn't find their way with Carlson. That's evaporated. They're going good now.
I was thinking about this the other day. When Anaheim won, it was Pronger and Niedermeyer. Like, San Jose has Pronger and Niedermeyer in Burns and Carlson. And Vlasic's in there.
Yeah.
Like, Vlasic's a hell of a player. So you've got a three-pack there that you can just roll through. They're going to be on the ice the whole time. The forwards, like that Timo Meier, we're talking off air, like he's a hell of a player,
yes,
too.
Is.
So it's Pavelski, who's a potential unrestricted free agent. I think when people look at San Jose, the biggest misnomer is you see Joe and you think they're old and slow. You've got an older team, but those younger players have been pushing them.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree. I think Wilson is going to be proactive, like, and try and add to a team that is already deep, but you're right, the window is shortened because Pavelski's unrestricted. Joe is older than dirt. And, you know, and Burns is over 30. Like, to me, Jones has to be the guy. It always comes back.
And you're not going to have Carlson, it looks like, after this year.
Yeah,
barring something, right? So, like, you look at what your opportunity is,
mm-hmm.
you know, and similar to Toronto. And, you know what, like, to me, you're not compromising the future, but you got to look at how do you set yourself up to take advantage of this year's opportunity. Jake Gardner might not be here next year. Matthews and Marner are on different contracts, right?
Yeah.
What does that all mean in terms of... I think that one of the beautiful things about San Jose and any team is when your team gives you a clear indication that you're good. That makes it really easy for a GM. Well, okay, what can we do? Here's the one or two or three areas we want to improve in. Let's get after it. And I think that's the same thing for the Leafs. I think it's the same exact thing for the Leafs.
It makes you wonder who's going to jump first, because when you look, again, those three divisions, and it's even more pronounced in the Pacific, it's over. Like, the Pacific is done. It's Calgary, San Jose, Vegas, in no particular order.
Well, what are they? Right. Like the fourth place team is like 15 points behind?
Anaheim. Yeah. Anaheim is 13 points behind Vegas, who are in third.
Okay.
It's over. Like, they're gone.
Yeah, they're gone. Right.
So, and it's not, again, as pronounced in the Atlantic, but I think it'll be Tampa, Toronto, Boston. Tampa will be one, and then either Toronto, Boston, two or three. Now, Montreal and Buffalo aren't that far behind.
The Islanders won't go away either.
Right, but they're not in the division.
No, I'm sorry.
So what I'm saying is, the point I'm trying to make, which team is going to jump first? Which team is going to say, forget it, I'm going to get Mark Stone, like, before this team guts, or I'm going to get Wayne Simmons, or I'm going to, you know, and how will that trigger a bit of a domino effect?
I just want to add this, too. So, and in the Atlantic and the Pacific, you want to finish in first. I think it's a foregone conclusion in the Atlantic.
Tampa's gone.
It's not in the Pacific.
No, it's not.
And so you do not want to be playing, you don't want to be the second and third place team, because
I'm not saying it's an easy pass
for the first place team, but it's
a lot easier. But you're right. And I keep coming back to it. The deadline is 6 weeks today.
Uh-huh.
It feels like, whether indirectly or not, Chiarelli kicked it off with the acquisition of Petrovic and all of that. Manning, like, what was that, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Did he fast-track it a little bit? They were trying to deal with some stuff, but to me, GMs, I know they're always proactive, but when did you start to feel like, okay, when you were going to make some moves, you had them probably brewing for a while, but was there a point where you're like, a pressure point where I need to pull the trigger a month out, or is it just depending on situational?
Well, I think it's both those things. I know one time I was talking with Jim Rutherford in Carolina. We were both he wanted to make a deal. We were trying to make a deal. We were talking and talking, but he wasn't ready to do it. Then I started to press a little bit, and then it's like he became less interested in doing it because I was like maybe just a little bit too aggressive, right?
Too excited,
it was actually Marty Jelena.
Oh, really?
Marty Jelena was in his last year in a contract, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, he was going to be a free agent. Ironically, though, think about who went to the Stanley Cup final that year.
Yeah.
Jim Rutherford made a great move by not trading Marty Jelena. Carolina went to the... But we were trying to get him in Calgary. We were trying to... And then we ended up signing him that summer. But at the... But we were...
You were prepared to...
Oh, yeah. And it was one of those conversations where you're talking. Yeah, it makes sense. And he's going to make sense. And sometimes it's just...
There's
a reluctance, right? There is sometimes a reluctance on somebody's part. Not that
maybe
the deal isn't there.
Feeling or something. Or...
Yeah, just like, hey, you know what? Yeah, maybe we'll revisit. A lot of deals get revisited after the trade deadline.
Course,
like, you know, so you start to figure out, let's rekindle these talks, right? You kind of you're planting the seed, and you know, then you go in there, and that's into the draft, right? But, but I think that, you know, the way it is now, and I shouldn't say it's any different than it was before. If you have an opportunity to try to improve your team, you have to look at it. You have to be prepared. That's why when I read the Ryan Rashog report, honestly, I just laugh. I want to go into a padded room with soundproof and just laugh like uncontrollably.
Based on what do you mean? The fact that
they're going to send everybody out now. Like,
oh, the Oilers are the army's out.
Like what you're saying, what you're screaming is, we don't know the league. We better go find out what the league is, right?
Yes.
Like the good teams just sit back and they go, okay, what do we need? Okay, let's. Yeah. You have your reports in order. What, you're going to go out in a week and send everybody out, and all of a sudden you're going to find the next great skilled player?
The Shirelli Army.
Oh my
God! They're out there. They're watching. They've got everyone bugged. It's all good.
It's unbelievable.
We'll see.
Brian, honestly, it's unbelievable.
I love it. Good seeing you, buddy. We'll catch you. Where are we going to watch you tonight? Sports Center? What are you
doing? Sports Center. All right, I'm on the Leafs pre.
There you go.
Top 50 affiliated prospects out tomorrow.
Looking
we got a little preview on the Leafs.
All right, man.
Good.
TSN.ca.
Yep.
There's Craig Button, our TSN hockey analyst.